Miracles and this plane of illusion. There needs to be some talk about this. This is a greatly misunderstood thing. There's the reality of miracles, but there's also the mythology of miracles. So I'm going to give some guidelines that have never been given before to help people distinguish what is mythology and what is reality, or possible reality. To begin this discussion, it has to be said how this plane of illusion is meant to be, and it has to be protected. That is important to understand, in order to understand why miracles cannot be what I would call confrontational. Confrontational to the illusion. True miracles are non-confrontational. For instance, healing. The miracle of healing takes place. These miracles are taking place in this time and age through prayer, through touch and prayer. Through other ways, healing is taking place. However, there is only one will, and no amount of power can go against that one will. For instance, there are many cases where people, let's say, for example, I had tumors in their body, many cases, and through some coming into contact with spirit, visiting a holy place, being touched by a master, being touched by someone who can heal through prayer, these tumors have been removed. But this is still not confrontational. It can be explained. scientists will admit the power of the mind. So perhaps it was due to the belief of the person praying. It was due to the belief of the person going to the holy place, etc., that these tumors were cured. And even though a holy man may heal so many people, still it could be explained as their powerful belief that they were going to be healed, that they were healed. There is some confrontation, but it is still what I would call basically non-confrontational. Now, a confrontational miracle would be if you took at random 20 people who were riddled with tumors, and under the observation of scientists and doctors, you took x-rays and then healed them one after the other, one after the other. X-rays, the tumors are there, healed. X-ray, the tumors are gone. The next one, tumors are there, healed. X-rays, tumors are gone. All 20 people, that would be confrontational, and you will never see anything like that. That would be too confrontational. It would be too much for the illusion to withstand that much light and that much power. It would be too confrontational. Therefore, it is not allowed. Or what takes place with this group? You have all felt this week so much power, so much love, so much ecstasy, so many things that so many people are longing to feel so much. And this is just the beginning. But as great as this is, and as great as it's going to become, it is non-confrontational. It doesn't confront the illusion and make it stop and pay attention. It's not enough to do that. And that's the way it is supposed to be. Miracles are always non-confrontational. Always. Most of the miracles take place within the framework of the body. The body is healed. The body feels ecstasies of different types. The body sees things, has visions. So an individual can be lost in universes of ecstasy with unlimited visions and listening to the music and feeling symptoms of ecstasy in the body. But to someone just looking at them, there is nothing to see. For someone who is not also in touch with that reality. So as great as the power that is going on in a great master, it is non-confrontational. The scientist can look at it and go, there is nothing here, and walk away. Non-confrontational. I will give an example of mythology, of something that is confrontational and did not happen. and that is the parting of the Red Sea. This is not possible. It is not possible because it is not allowed. Because it is too confrontational to this illusion. Just imagine, in our time and place, if I were to walk down to the ocean and I were to cause a great section of it to part so that you could actually walk on the bottom of the ocean with the huge ocean around you somehow or other held in place. Everyone that saw this, the illusion would be snapped. It would be broken. That's confrontational. It can be, pictures can be taken of, it can be recorded, people can testify to it. And also, the time and the place that miracles happen is important to being under this law of confrontational or not. In other words, masters would exhibit miracles sometimes to disciples or to a chosen few. But the modern age with the technology of photography and televisions makes certain miracles too confrontational also. But practically, no miracle is going on that can be recorded on camera anyway. So that is just one basic guideline to know if a miracle truly happened or not, if a power truly was exhibited or not, if it's something you can see with the eye. Because the real miracles that are going on cannot be seen with the eye. So you turn these guidelines toward the mythology of Hinduism and see what doesn't mean these guidelines. But what happens when an incarnation comes is so wonderful that even though so many of the myths didn't happen, it was more wonderful than was being presented. As glorious as it would be if the things happened as they said they happened, It was more glorious than that. So many people lost in ecstasy. But still, the illusion was maintained so that even when the most powerful incarnations would come, people could look at that incarnation and say, this is just a man. This is not God. And ridicule. This is always the way it has been. And this is the way it will be. This whole environment has been created here. This planet, not to speak of the universes, but just speaking of this planet now, and the illusions covering it, and the living entities, and the evolution of the species. This is all created for a purpose. And just as certainly as it needs to be maintained through rains, different seasons, all of the intricate food chains of the species, so also the illusion must be maintained. It must basically stay intact. So an incarnation comes into the midst of this darkness, bringing in different amounts of light and power depending upon the mission, and goes out throughout the world and finds those that are ready to leave, and then he grabs them and pulls them up, but the rest is left intact. You are ready to leave. You are evolved enough where you can leave, at least. But there simply are many who are not. They have so many lifetimes left. So, of course, it is easy to say that something happened 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, so many thousands of years ago. Who can dispute? But this is the standard that you can use, because the illusion has always been protected as it is currently being protected. And the illusion will always be dominant in this place by necessity. By the will of God, the illusion will be dominant. And while we are searching for those that are able to have their illusion dispelled, that are able to get free in this lifetime, most need to have their illusion, because they are going to be staying. And just look how powerful the illusion is. Here sits an incarnation of God, yet most that have heard of this fact just are so covered over by the illusion that they cannot even begin to accept or understand, nor do they have the desire and intensity to try because of the illusion. There is a lot of awakening going on, a great deal of awakening going on now. I am working with many who do not know that it's me. But they are moving. And at some point in the future, there'll be a coming together. So are there any questions about this?
We're asking what all the miracles that Jesus performed, were they just mythology? That they talk about in the Bible? Raising of the dead.
The thing to look at is if they're confrontational or not. Some could say that the one that had died perhaps was not dead. Like now. Because of technology, they can detect when people are not dead that in the past they used to confirm were dead. So many cases like that, where many people were buried alive because they were believed dead. So someone could say that it was they were not truly dead. So that is not confrontational. Now, what would be confrontational is if there were 20 people dead and it was confirmed by everyone and he went down the line and every single one rose from the dead. That would be more confrontational.
Always be just a few.
Well, that will depend on you and everyone here. When will everyone be ready for this mission? As soon as we start, then they will come. As soon as we start, then they will come. Because it is the truth. Because it will be presented in a way that for those that are serious, they will have to check it out. It would be gross negligence on the part of a serious spiritual seeker to not investigate a current incarnation of God. And then the power will speak for itself. It's not a belief system. It's a power. All you have to do is be open to it, and it will come in and take you over. So, all that has to be done is they have to get to this room. Not even to this room. They just have to open their minds and their hearts and listen and begin to move. There is a certain power in a present incarnation that is not there in past incarnations. Or to put it another way, this is what's happening now. Krishna's history. You can read about him in the books. And someday, that's all they'll be able to do about me. They'll be able to read it in a book. Of course, they can still be saved. I'm not saying that. But what an opportunity for someone who is serious about spiritual life. If they will just take the first step, and that is to open enough that it could possibly be an incarnation of God, or that it is a good, benevolent being bringing in a power, totally benevolent, no darkness at all, totally pure light that is coming in through this being. If they are just open, that help is here to move them spiritually, and they will move from a distance. Doesn't matter so much. But they need to connect with this incarnation. So they should stop chanting Krishna's name, and they should start chanting my name. They should stop praying to Jesus and they should start praying to me, those that want to leave in this lifetime. Until you come to a certain point, and then it's one, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Karasana. But to begin with, to break them from their stuckedness and their belief system, to have them get a taste of the fresh life of an incarnation that is currently present, they should use this name. If they want to taste something different and new and unusually powerful, so what is the harm in that? Will they just say the name, Gaurasana? If they're afraid that it might be something bad, then they can pray to God about Gaurasana. Please, God, I want to know the truth about Gaurasana. My eternal Father, show me the truth. Because if this is an incarnation of God, I do not want to miss this opportunity. Just imagine the times of incarnations that are well known. How fortunate those people were that personally knew Krishna, the disciples. Those that came and believed and followed. Those that knew Buddha, his intimate disciples, his core, the people that came. But think of those that did not open their minds and hearts. What an opportunity they missed. Imagine the people around those times that saw the incarnations of God, some of the most powerful incarnations of God on this earth, and they were within feet of them, but because their hearts and their minds were closed, they could not recognize it, and they missed a great opportunity. What a tragedy. And that's what's going on now. It's a tragedy. When this body finally dies, it will be a tragedy for those that knew it and could have come and been with me in this body and did not. What a tragedy. There is no other opportunity like this. So any preaching that goes on now should come practically purely from inspiration. If you're so moved to preach, then preach. If not, don't. Because time is needed to get ready. Everyone has more transforming to do. But things are going well. It takes a little time. But people are out there waiting. They're just waiting. And it's just their misfortune that they can't be here right now. Because all that has to be done for them to come is you have to contact them and let them know that I'm here. And when they hear it, then they'll come. He's there. There's an incarnation. I'm going. That it will be like that for some. Others, of course, it'll be slow and painful and step by step. But there will be those that will just hear. They will go, it's an incarnation. Then they'll come to investigate. And they'll find out. But nobody's telling them, so how can they come? But still, in the meantime, I'm working with them. How will an incarnation behave? Everyone has so many concepts of how an incarnation will behave, how an incarnation should behave. Incarnation would listen to church music or religious music, of course, and perhaps even classical music. But would an incarnation listen to rock and roll, heavy metal? Why not? Music is always there. Music is always there. It's just, look at history. What did they have at their fingertips for musical capabilities? They had a few very simple instruments which they could produce very limited sounds on. Now, with modern technology, there are so many sounds. And all of these sounds can be created and put on a tape or a CD or whatever. Something that could never be done before in history. So maybe a king could have an orchestra of 1,000 and 500 singers, and with them have an inspirational piece that everyone was just in ecstasy. But that would be, you know, once a year at a major celebration, and only a few thousand people would hear it. Now the equivalent can be put on tape after tape after tape. So many songs, so much music with so much power and intensity. Never was there been music like there is now. Never. It's never been possible to do what is now possible to do. How many in the world had heard a full orchestra? Until now, anyone can go for a few dollars and hear a beautiful full orchestra. Or hear choirs from around the world. It's never been possible, the music that is possible now. whatever locale you were born in the past, whatever music was native to your region, then that is what you heard and that is all you heard. Now you can hear music from all over the world, all intensities, all types. Some good, some bad. But the music that we listen to has a depth and a power. I am the first modern incarnation. Technology has only begun within the last 150 years at most. More or less. And other, unlike other incarnations that have been here in that period, I am coming in a modern place, the United States. So you have to look at the context that the incarnation is coming into. There are certain things that this incarnation can do that was impossible for incarnations of the past to do. To drive a car, to ride on an airplane, to listen to a stereo, to speak into a microphone and record lectures, to call disciples around the world on the telephone. This could never be done by any other incarnation. So it sounds peculiar that God would be doing these things, but this is the environment. And an incarnation 10,000 years from now, they'll be doing so many things that I can't do. Because there'll be a whole other environment. The technology will be very advanced. The technology is just beginning. It's just newborn. Like a baby. Brand new. Just taking birth. Look what has been done. So they have to give up their concepts about what an incarnation would or would not do, how an incarnation would behave. And they have to give up their mythologies of incarnations. The preaching can be very simple. You have to be able to say with confidence to someone that I know that it is an incarnation of God. And you owe it to yourself, if you are serious about living in this lifetime, to investigate for yourself. Because if what I am saying is true, what an opportunity you are missing. You would be a fool not to listen. And when you talk to the Hindus, you can quote that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, "Fools deride me." Don't be a fool, like Krishna was speaking of in the Bhagavad Gita. The fools deride me. Don't be one of those fools now, because there is an incarnation of God on this earth right now. Don't be one of the fools that deride him and miss the opportunity to leave this place of illusion. Don't be one of those fools. At least have enough sense to investigate and open your heart and open your mind. Don't be a fool. These devotees know they are not making it. One thing they do know for sure, and that is that they are not making it. They may hope that they will be saved somehow or other at death, but basically they know that they're not making it. And they aren't. They had better try something else before they die. And time is passing. There are hundreds of examples in the Krishna conscious movement of sincere, powerful men and women who strictly followed Prabhupada's teachings day and night, year after year, and it didn't work. It didn't fructify. The promise that was made didn't happen. They failed. And they gave up. Hundreds. None of them are making it. None of them. Jeev Jago! Wake up! Wake up! Look around you! Nobody is making it! Don't you understand, you fool? The promises that were made are not being fulfilled! These devotees gave everything that they were asked to give, and it didn't work.
and there is an incarnation of God here. And if you come and open your heart and open your mind, you will know that it's working. You will know it within a short time, not after years and years of austerity and endeavor hoping to get something. You will know soon that there is something going on here, and it is powerful. And it is God, and you will come to know that. But you do not need to believe that to begin with. Just open up to the possibility. Do you want to get free? What you're doing is failing. You will not get free. How else will you get free? How else do you know of any other way? No! Listen to me, those of you lost in illusion. Listen to me. I have come to take you home. Don't be fooled by this illusion. You can get free. No matter how fallen you think you are, no matter what your situation is, no matter how impossible you think it is, you can get free. I am bringing in a power that has never been brought in before. And if you will just give it a chance, you will get free. And you won't have to wait for years. It will happen soon. And we're not asking for anything. We're asking that you do what it takes to become free in this lifetime. That's what we're asking. We're asking that you will have the courage and the resolve and the determination and the desire to become free from this place of suffering and illusion, and you will get up and do something about it. That you will quit stagnating in your spiritual life. That you will quit kidding yourself with these nonsense philosophies. Wasting your time with so many of these so-called New Age beliefs. Yes, they're helpful in certain ways, but they will not get you free. What you have to go through to get free will be there. And some of the technologies of the New Age can be utilized to help you, to assist you. But that's all they can do is assist you. They, in and of themselves, will not get you free, ever. They will move you closer to God, possibly, but not fast enough. To get free in this lifetime requires such rapid movement. Staggering, rapid movement.
If you don't act and act soon, you will have to face the tragedy of death in illusion. Not very pleasant. And then certain rebirth with no guarantee of where you will be born or the severity of suffering that you will endure. No guarantee. If you think that you have any control over it, you are sadly mistaken. If you think you can wish it to be a certain way, or as they say now, create your own reality, you are pitifully in illusion. And how pitiful this belief is will be shown when the suffering comes. And you may say, but I did not create this, I did not want this. But you are not doing the creating. You are a being of illusion that has to go in order for your true self to come. Who you think you are has to go for enlightenment to be there. The being of illusion has no power. So whatever pathetic dreams you may have, you are not in control at all about anything. So for those of you that want to quit dreaming and want to wake up, it's difficult to wake up, yes, but there is so much ecstasy that is waiting for you if you will just give up and let go of your illusion. Although the miracles are non-confrontational, the preaching has to be confrontational, totally confrontational. They have to be confronted with the reality. And it will be up to them whether or not they will face them. Very, very hard to face the reality. When you are in a belief system and you believe that God, either in the form of Jesus or in the form of Buddha or in the form of Krishna, are going to save you at the time of death, it is very hard to face the reality that they are not. But there are those out there that will face reality, as hard as it will be for them. And some, not so hard. Because if you will just let go and give up your illusion, it doesn't have to be such a struggle at all. It can be very, very sweet the whole way.